Thank you, Tiffany. And good evening, beloved ladies. Maybe it's morning, maybe it's afternoon. And I just want you to know my heart is completely with you all. And I'm quite amazed that you're here on the call. And my best friend is out with me at the moment in the French Pyrenees. And so this morning we were walking in the woods. And I was confiding in her saying, wow, I got to make this call tonight. I got to step in. When only 24 hours ago I found out. And I said, God, I don't know if I can do it, Carolyn. I'm not sure I'll be able to do it. And a gust of breeze came along and knocked my baseball cap off. And I know that that was Shakti. It was as if she was like gently clipping me round the ear and saying, wake up. Of course you're going to do the call. I haven't gone anywhere. I am right here with the pair of you in the forest. I never did get to meet Shakti. We had a number of calls. I knew Aaron. Shakti was in my heart as one of the tribe, one of the community. And the little I did know of her, I know she would want this show to go on. She would want her work, her message, and every single available possibility for the ones with her to have their opportunity to learn more, to live more, to open more, to trust more. And so it is my honor to be here, knowing she is with us in this moment. So I thought what I would do is share two levels of teaching around the subject of Lilith and Eve. And it's up to you what you keep and what you reject. And let your body, your heart and soul and womb translate what I'm going to say and continue the conversation on long after I've gone. Because Lilith and Eve are archetypes. They're not actual real people with historical factual stories. They're myths. They are in us, living as us. And so the best thing to do is to speak on their behalf. And then we will finish and round off the rest of the call with, well, what does that mean now, 2017? How are these archetypes living within me now? So here we go, the first level of teaching. Once upon a time, in the Garden of Eden, there was a man known as Adam. And God had created a woman known as Lilith. And these two human beings were the first ones to begin this lineage of others. They were independent, they were sovereign, they were whole and complete. And all was well. After some time, a little imbalance was starting to show itself. Adam was assuming a higher status in the garden. Adam was throwing his weight around a little. And Lilith was doing everything she could to bring him back to the midline, to bring him back to that harmonious balance point that they were enjoying in the beginning. This wasn't working so well. and after reaching the end of her tether, Lilith said, "It." Can't swear on these calls, but you know what I mean. "I'm leaving. I'm leaving the Garden of Eden. And we're going to go and hang out somewhere else." The texts say that she went to the Sinai, she went to the Red Sea, and she was hanging out at the edge of the Red Sea, having a great time with other elements of creation. Three angels were sent to speak to her on behalf of God, saying, "Lilith, you really have to come back to the garden. This is what you were created for. You are to be the mother of humanity. Without you, the plan cannot complete itself." And she said to the angels, "I don't care. I've had enough." Adam is really getting above his station. I simply cannot be with this man. I'm not interested. Tell God I'm not interested. I'm not going back." Angels went back to God, gave Lilith's response. God sent the angels again, this time with a more pressing message. "Lilith, you really do have to come back to the garden and continue what you agreed to continue. If you don't, you will be barren and you will be wandering around the desert for the whole of eternity, never ever able to have children." And she said to the angels, "What about Adam? Has anyone spoken to Adam?" The angels said no. And she said, "Well, in that case, I am not returning." And she turned her back and she stayed at the edge of the Red Sea. News got back to God. And so God made another woman. And this one was Eve. And she was passive and sweet-natured, patient, loving, and humble. And Eve was given unto Adam. And Eve served Adam. And all was well in the garden. And sure enough, humanity was birthed. Lilith, on the other hand, turned more and more wild and agitated and vengeful and hateful. But she never did have children. And she never did make it back into the garden. That is one story. And that story is there to reveal to womankind that we have both qualities within us, an independent, untamable, wild, ferocious, outspoken, direct, unassuming, unapologetic part. When something is not right, we do not play ball. Andrew Harvey speaks of this one as sacred rage and sacred justice. This part of us cannot play polite society. It cannot receive being told what to do. It cannot be shaped and conformed into a neat and tidy little box. It is wild. And we have the other part, Eve, who is vulnerable, who is humble, patient, compassionate, tender, forgiving, kind-hearted, sweet-natured. And these live on inside of us. And society mostly has only wanted Eve. Lilith is there, but she's covert. She's taboo, she's forbidden. She hasn't gone anywhere. She's there in the shadows. And when we first come to Lilith, she's very peed off. She's very agitated. And she will have a lot to say about the patriarch. She will have a lot to say about anything that has suppressed her, including ourselves. And when we do first find Lilith, she is angry. She is vengeful. She does have crazy thoughts of putting things right, making others pay. Some people imagine that this level of energy is Lilith and gives that archetype permission to be that kind of woman. This is not Lilith. This is unhealed or distorted Lilith. When we have listened to her, witnessed her, embodied her in a safe way where no one gets harmed, including ourselves, then she will swing back into alignment. She'll still have sacred rage. She will still absolutely call a spade when it's a spade. She will still be spontaneously wild in the middle of what seems like an inopportune moment. When it is absolutely right for someone to speak about the elephant in the room, she will always throw the cards up in the air and watch what falls and watch what sticks. She is wild. But when she is healed, she's an agent and an ally of truth. She's Kali. She's the Black Madonna. She doesn't care less about anyone's opinion. She doesn't care less about being popular and winning votes. She is her own woman. Let's look at Eve. The patriarchal system has made Eve very blonde, very passive, very lovely, very pure. Very goody two-shoes. But what Eve really is that beautiful humility and vulnerability and that fragile willingness to be open and undefended and sincere and completely earnest. This is really gracious qualities. Qualities that need to be protected. And who is gonna do the protection? Because it's not gonna be the patriarchy. Eve's protector is Lilith. And Eve is Lilith's love. We're going to come back to this. Let's receive a different story. Second level teachings. We're back in the Garden of Eden again, with Lilith and Adam. Same old story unfolds. Adam starts to assume some kind of entitlement over the way things should be, how Lilith should be, how their lovemaking should be. There's actual ancient texts out there to say that Adam could not accept Lilith being on top anymore, that she always had to assume the missionary position. This is not going to work out very well with Lilith. Now, this part of the story, Lilith does not run to the edge of the Red Sea, and she is not met by angels. In this level of teaching, Lilith says, okay, whatever. And she becomes the serpent, very much in the Garden of Eden, witnessing, watching, and being vigilant to everything that is about to play itself out next. In comes Eve, who isn't this little passive blonde thing, but this virgin light presence of the Holy Sophia, Divine Feminine, whatever we want to call this. Her light is virgin. Her light is so Christos that there cannot be any stain, any tint, any doubt, any distortion. That is the real Eve. Virgin light power. And she keeps her virginity in Adam's presence. I'm not speaking of a sexual virginity. I'm talking of a light virginity. Adam is simply unable to move left or right in the presence of this lady with a capital L. And for some reason, he doesn't want to. There is something so holy about this one, that that little part of him that was playing with Lilith lines itself up and plays ball. And so they begin the process of seeding humanity. Eve is informing Adam how to be in alignment with her light, his light. But when she first arrived, he was a little bit here and a little bit there. Eve brought him back into alignment. When Adam was in alignment, and Eve knew this, Eve went to the tree of knowledge and met her sister bride, or you could say the other face of the coin. She met Lilith. Lilith being that wild, Kali-esque, Black Madonna, edgy energy, offered Eve the apple. This is the apple of knowledge. And she says, are you ready to know thyself? The Garden of Eden is a safe and possibly experimental realm. It is not the totality. Lots of things are not allowed in, because it is in essence a laboratory, a place for humankind to be conceived and seeded and birthed. But outside of the garden is know thyself, the whole reality. And it is Lilith who rightly offers the apple. And Eve says, yes, we are ready. Crunch. And Adam ate of the apple. And now the whole is known. And the words are, when you eat of the apple, you shall know what the gods and goddesses know. The wholeness of reality is instantly revealed. And they realize they are not in the garden any longer. When you are initiated into truth, there is a sacrifice, and that sacrifice is the ignorance of what you once knew as a limited form of truth. That's gone. That little safety zone and comfort net is gone. Now you have been obliterated out and into reality. And that, beloved ladies, is where we are to head. Stage one. If we are yogic types, we will come to this part of the woman's journey where we have to retrieve Lilith, because we've probably put her away somewhere. If you were like me, you may have danced around with her for a little bit in your 20s and kind of gone, oh, that was fun. But I'm now going to get into yoga and meditation and fasting, and that part of me's got to go. And so you come to this stage of the journey in your 30s and 40s, and you realize, oops, I've suppressed Lilith. I've forbidden her. And so we got to go get her. And when you start giving permission for your anger at being boxed in, your anger at being made to be polite, the conditioning of politeness, the favoritism over saying yes more often than saying no, the ridiculous amounts of times we've slept with someone when we didn't want to, the ridiculous amounts of times we've kept a relationship going when we knew it was dangerous or dead, the ridiculous amounts of times we've stayed in a job to keep our parents happy, Lilith is not going to be happy about this level of conditioning. And the anger that can come up is equal to a tsunami. And it's ugly and it's messy and we don't care. And if it's the other way around, you may be mostly in your Lilith. You may be that femme fatale, that seductress, that mistress. And you look at Eve and go, oof, no way, there is no way I'm going to open my heart and be vulnerable and humble. There's no way I'm going to fall in love and risk getting my heart broken again. Where I am is a place of power. No man gets in again. I'm just going to wrap every single lover around my finger and I'm going to play him. And I'm going to make him pay for the one who broke my heart, for the one who betrayed me, or simply because my father hurt me as a child. This isn't a good position either, because you're viewing Lilith through the wrong lens. You're imagining that she has the word welcome across her forehead, when she is that unsullied, unstained virgin light presence. She's not a blonde little bimbo who hasn't got a clue, no brain cell between her ears. If you was to meet the real Lilith, Eve, I'm sorry. If you was to meet the real Eve, you would drop to your knees and feel utterly forgiven. And if you was to meet the real Lilith, she would take you to the edge and push. Not because she wants to hurt you, because she wants to free you. She wants to offer you that apple. She wants to take you out of your conditioning. So when we first start this work, there is a push-pull dynamic. And it's tumultuous and it's strong. And if you allow, if you surrender, there is eventually a balance point. And this is where the great teachers are taking us now, to that second story, where we are free of conditioning and we can face our partners and the world. And we can seamlessly move from one archetype to the other without any jolting or awkwardness. And we do not favor a certain face. That we are the true face of Lilith and Eve. And if it's time to give someone a bitch slap because they are bullshitting you, and playing you and manipulating you or harming someone who is defenseless, if it is time for that, and you turn the tables over and you say bullshit right now coming out of your mouth. But the heart open. And if it is time for you to back down because bullshit is coming out of your mouth, Eve is there. Hey, you know what? You're totally right. I'm sorry. You're right. Andrew Harvey, Caroline Mice, Marianne Williamson, Shakti, most likely. Myself, we need Lilith. If we have been born and raised in the West, beloved ladies, we're gonna have some heavy duty conditioning that makes us all sweet and lovely. And of course, the men want to marry these sweet and lovely women, and they do not want to see Lilith once they've got you. They like Lilith at the beginning. Oh, yes, of course. They welcome and accept and allow Lilith at the beginning. But as soon as you're their long-term partner, this is the old paradigm, by the way, Lilith is not allowed to come out anymore. But is it because he's turned his back on Lilith? No. He's watching Lilith secretly. Pornography. Magazines, movies, other ladies in the room. He is not at peace himself. He too is being fed this poison. Marry Eve, have an affair with Lilith. And so he too has the schism in his mind. And we, if we're Lilith, if we're Eve, we will play along with this stupidity. And we will become the perfect little wives and the perfect little mothers. And we will just be docile and passive. And the world is burning and bullshitting all around us. And Lilith is holding the prison bars, saying, get me out of here. And let me bring everything back into balance. This is the old paradigm. This is most likely what our parents were living, but not us, beloved ladies. Let us make our pilgrimage to Lilith, and let us give her the time and space that she needs to vent some serious anger and justified wrath and rage. But do not let her harm another, and do not let her harm yourself. But she may well need to speak to some people about the trespass that they actually genuinely did. And all I can say to you is be courageous. Be courageous. Go for it. Yes, you're going to upset the apple cart. Yes, you are. You are. You're going to upset a lot of people. Your little popular position is going to dissolve before your very eyes. There's probably going to be loads of judgment. And you might even be cast out. So what? So what? Things change. Nothing stays the same. That too shall pass. You got to do it, ladies. You got to do it for your health. And you got to do it for your children. You have to do it for us all. We all need this peace. And if it's the other way round, if you're in your Lilith, you are the femme fatale, the seductress, the dark one, having affairs left, right, and center with married men, no judgment here. But you're going to need to make your sacred pilgrimage to Eve. You are. You are. Otherwise, you're going to die a very twisted and bitter and lonely woman. You must make your sacred pilgrimage to Eve. Eve is not a welcome mat. Eve is not a coward. Eve is purity and tenderness and comfort. She's not flimsy. She's not wafty. She is that endlessly loving, patient feminine. And then the great work is to marry them together. They need to trust each other again. Eve has Lilith's heart at the beginning of the journey, and Lilith has Eve's power. They need to exchange gifts. And then they need to wed. And the possibility of movement between the two be made seamless. When that is whole and integrated in yourself, then you must keep that broadcast going when in relationship, and that can be a big obstacle, beloved ladies. It's relatively easy-ish to maintain this in your own space. It becomes a real alchemical work to maintain that when the beloved partner is on the scene. But we must not. If we're yogic types, the tendency is to put Lilith back in the box and always be sweet. And if we're the femme fatale, the tendency is to always keep the edge going and never, ever, ever be too vulnerable. do not show that love. Always be unreachable. Always play him. Try to outplay each other. Mind games. Never reveal you're actually falling in love. So when that partner turns up, if he's a yogic man or a biker, maintain the ability to seamlessly call on these energies at the most appropriate times, in the most appropriate way, and do not water it down. I believe it is this particular form of alchemy that if we do actually stand a chance, us humans, if we do actually stand a chance of playing some kind of role in this evolutionary shift, it is because the women have done this work. And if the men leave at the beginning because they simply can't handle it, let them run. They will soon come back. They will soon come back and they will have to learn to be with this new kind of woman. Because this new kind of woman is going to give birth to a new kind of man. If they can be with the true Lilith and Eve, they can become men and stop running around like little boys who've read loads of books. They sound good, but there's actually nothing there. There's nothing to back up their theory. Hang out with a real woman, you'll be a real man. We must hold this, ladies, when we're lovers, wives, and mothers. We must teach our little girls. We must not pacify our little girls and try and make them Eves. We must always encourage they keep their wildness. We let them know, hey, sweetie, by the way, there's two sides to your character. There's going to be one day when you're really loving and kind and gentle, and there's going to be another day when you're just wild. And you want to climb trees and you want to rip things up just because. Let them know it's okay. There's nothing wrong with them. Don't put them on medication. If you have little boys, educating them, hey, the girls are interesting. They're changeable, unpredictable, spontaneous. That's what makes them girls. That's a real girl for you. They're meant to be different. You'll have a fabulous time when you're older, little boy, having a relationship, girlfriend for the first time. Woo, it's going to get fun then. Make it fun. What can we do about this in 2017? Seek out your edges. You got to meet Lilith, and you got to meet her on the outside and on the inside. And you got to meet Eve on the outside and on the inside. It would be wise to seek out these environments where you know that energy is. If you are predominantly an Eve type, you're going to have to seek out a Lilith environment. Do not put yourself in danger. But when you go into the Lilith environment, that's when you're going to be breathing heavily. You are going to be consciously staying in that environment, doing your long, deep breathing, facing every emotion that comes up, and you're going to stay vibrantly awake and available and present in her company. Never, ever contradict your moral code or standard of presence. So I am certainly not suggesting, oh, just let your spiritual values go and just go for it, become debased, become depraved. But you may. Your womb will tell you. You will know exactly how to self-initiate. Go to an environment. Be there. Breathe your way through until it's having the same effect on you as if you're in the supermarket. If you're a femme fatale type, go to an environment that is predominantly Eve and breathe your way through. Breathe your way through all of that sweetness and devotion and loving kindness, because it's going to be the same for the Lilith types. So it's not an easy piece of alchemy. Let it in. Let it in. Let it in. Step one, letting it in. Step two, embodying it. If you're an Eve type, you've got to embody Lilith. You might decide to go to Burning Man as Lilith. If you're a femme fatale, if you're a Lilith, you might decide to go to the Beloved Festival and do bhajans until you start crying. You gotta make it real. You gotta make these initiations real. You can't imagine or pray or chant your way into this. I am sure the rest of your course will give you ample guides and signposts how to do this work. And finishing with, as we do this work, as we marry these archetypes, we come back to the beginning, back to the garden again. Remember, out of the fullness first came Lilith, then came Eve. When we reclaim our Lilith and Eve and bring them home into our hearts, wombs, and soul, we are back to the fullness. There is no Lilith. There is no Eve. There is only feminine. So, beloved ladies, I'm going to pause here. I guess maybe, I don't know, is there questions? Will Tiffany show herself?
Yes. So if anyone does have questions, you can chat, put them into the chat box at the bottom and we can read them from there. And if you're wanting to engage directly and come online, then so just either your hand up or let us know in the chat box and then we can give you the microphone and then we can have a dialogue on the topic. And I must say, Anai, thank you so much. That was really entertaining as well as very engaging, and actually just to be honest, with everything else going on, it was just kind of like such a breath of fresh air to be thinking of and engaging something else. And Rianne sitting here with me, and we were definitely passing comments one another, kind of high-fiving whether we were Eve and Lilith and all of those different parts of ourselves. So it's So thank you.
Oh, bless you, Tiffany. Yeah. Had a little respite there for a moment.
Yeah, it was lovely. So Thea would like to come on live. So Thea, I'm going to give you the microphone. Yeah, there's your video.
Hello.
Hi, Amaya.
So Hi.
Thank you for being here today with us. What a timing. It's so amazing. So. I see someone, Rubina also said, how can we integrate both? And I'm noticing in myself, and maybe you can just give me some guidance. It feels like my Lilith comes out a little bit more in distorted ways. Mm. Where there is some anger often, you know, so there is the love kind of missing. I'm just really feeling that. And when I go to the Eve, it's almost like a little bit, that feels distorted too, because I feel like I'm putting it on. Mm. And on some level, the angry Lilith is a little easier for me. So I really have this desire to just cut through after listening to you today. I'm really feeling that, you know, I really want to do it.
Well, I must say, my personal journey, I have to thank Andrew Harvey. Okay. I did the Christ path with him. And it was through Andrew's transmissions that I got to meet the real Eve. I'm sorry. This virgin light presence. Because I too was struggling with Eve as being this passive one, this, you know, this Kuan Yin. I can't do Kuan Yin very well. It's not part of my nature. But when Andrew brought through the real Eve, then I realized, now this is something I can embody. And going back to the story of your Lilith, Lilith is going to be angry and distorted at the beginning. And we're not going to be able to do this embodiment piece perfectly. And it's going to be rough. And it's going to be awkward, and sometimes it's graceful, and sometimes it's just mudslinging all over again. But that's when, and if you're in partnership, that's when that beloved partner can really show up for you. And together you can have this very open conversation, you know, about was that mudslinging or was that sacred rage? And you, of course, are self-managing on the inside. You know, if you believe that you're mudslinging, you're being a bitch, you're being cruel on purpose, then do your very best. Take yourself away from the situation. And what I have to do is play music. I can't just get to Eve by prayer alone. I have to play a piece of music that will induce that sort of devotional quality. And I start praying so deeply for that true Eve to emerge inside of me again. And it is, as I said, it's a tug of war. At first, it's from one end to the other, and then it gets a little bit more graceful. But we have to be careful that when you say, oh, my Lilith is still being distorted, check. She might not be. She might be being this particular way for exactly the right reasons. And I tell you another good thing, menopause helps. I'm just starting to go into menopause. That really helps. This speeds everything right up.
Yes, what I'm feeling as you speak is like when I actually invite the Eve into the Lilith, there is then actually tears. Yeah. They're usually tears. And that softening, I'm feeling, makes the anger actually very clean or not, then I can really determine.
That's it. Yes. Self-governing, self-management. Let the two archetypes speak to one another in their moment of activation. So if Lilith is activated, bring in Eve.
And then when you speak to, you know, you might upset people and, you know, and you have to be risked being all of that. So that's just another growing up phase in that way.
Yeah. That's what we could call a ring of fire, or an initiative step, or a portal. To make all of this real, it's like we have to keep going out there into the world and embodying a little bit more, coming back to the self, going out there into the world. Do you know, and until that seamless inner and outer journey becomes one. So we're always, it's always going to be uncomfortable to bring Lilith out into the world, but that's what makes it real. And that frees that first story. So if we really do believe that the archetype of Lilith is wandering alone and burnt and parched and blistered in the heat of the metaphysical Red Sea, and is hanging out with terrible types of beings in the creation, then us permitting her a voice and being able to swing an injustice into justice is taking a little bit away from that archetype. Until that archetype really is back in womankind and not something that's forbidden and banished. So we have to do this for ourselves, and we absolutely have to do it for one another as sisters, and we absolutely have to do it for the archetype itself.
And I so love when you said at the end that in the fullness, then there is only the feminine, and to transcend the both. But what I'm really feeling is how to get the love into the Lilith kind of, and then getting into the one of that. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And then Louise wanted to go on live. So let me get Louise.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Thanks so much for letting me speak, because it's very live for me right now. In fact, I just had met someone on the weekend at a Conscious Festival that was giving me a reading and was talking about, and her words was very strong nun aspect to myself, which is obviously Eve, and how that has a potential to work its way into my life in a negative way, in terms of everything's going really well right now in general, but this nun complex kind of is going to interfere. It's, you know, it's not really my true self yet, even though I feel like I'm losing a lot of identity because I've been going through a lot very quickly in my spiritual path and being of service. And I did go through a period of celibacy, which has recently ended, because I knew it wasn't serving me any longer. And now I am at that stage where, well, what does this look like now? What does it look like opening myself up to partnership and opening myself up to this aspect of myself that I've maybe been pushing away, which is kind of more the Lilith aspect, but then like, what does that actually look like in practical terms? But what was very interesting as well was that at the Conscious Festival I was at, I did actually get in touch with her.
Mm.
It was for the first time in a very long time. It was like, oh, If I did want to seduce, I could.
Yeah.
So that was refreshing, but I just knew it wasn't particularly the right time or the right way for me to do that. But it was good that it was there. It was like, so there's a good start.
Yes. And you can call upon conscious playmates.
Hmm.
You know, yeah. I had a lovely conscious friend.
Uh-huh.
Who was a sexual being, a male, and I said, can I practice on you? Can you really sincerely just feed back?
Mm.
So, you know, I'd go off and do my thing. I'd get dressed up. I'd dance. I'd get into the energy. And then I would present this edgier part of me that I dare not show the partner.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was my friend,
mm-hmm.
I trusted the environment. And then he would feed back and go, that really worked. And I didn't have to sleep with him. I didn't have to go to bed with him.
Yeah.
Because. So it's amazing what is on offer for us now in this day and age. You know, the types of relationships are so open. We can try all sorts of things with one another.
Mm-hmm.
We're lucky. We're privileged to this. Definitely. When you spoke about touching in with that just a moment ago with your big old smile. Yeah, more of that, please.
Yeah, definitely, because it's been lost for a long time.
Yeah.
So I will play into that and see what comes up. That'll usually appear once the intention's there, once you know where to look, if you will.
Another nice way of playing with Lilith is to actually make little videos.
Mm-hmm.
Either erotic photography, that's how I work with my ladies.
Mm-hmm.
I say, okay, everybody, I want some erotic photos. And the people are like, no way. I'm like, yes, ma'am. Yeah. And they love it.
Mm-hmm.
And they share, all the ladies share their erotic photos they've taken of each other. And it's a safe and tight container.
Mm-hmm.
And they dare to do it, and it gives them so much confidence.
Mm.
And then it's like, okay, next level, videos. And, oh my God, now there's a lovely way of connecting with Lilith in the sanctity and the safety of your own home and the trust amongst sisters. We are not going to share these photos. We are not going to share these videos.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing full damn well we have to embody it. It has to be real.
Hmm. Yeah. That's very challenging, but I could definitely catch that and see what happens. When,
at the beginning, for some ladies, this is an absolute no-go. This seems as if it can't be done. And I simply say to them, start with your feet. Photograph your foot in an erotic posture. As soon as they get a taste for it, they're off. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yep.
Another aspect as well, which was also at the same festival, was I was at a Dakini puja. And this felt very live. Like, for me, it was very, very strong.
Yes.
And obviously I wanted to speak with Shakti on this, because it felt like the Dakini was the embodiment of both in one.
Yeah.
Felt really, really strongly. So I just wondered what you thought of that, of the Dakini path.
I don't know too much about it, but I know only this, that the Dakini is such a pure spirit, the purest of spirits, that it seeks out a darker aspect of life on purpose, masquerading itself as a darker element to get into the dark space to do its work at such a pure Christos level. And when I heard that, I said, yes, I like Dakinis.
Mm.
Yes. That is my type of person. We mustn't think the Dakinis are edgy, scary beings. Mm. They just appear that way. Mm-hmm. What is within is the purest Christ heart that can ever be made. And they have so much love and compassion that this is why they do what they do. Mm-hmm. And I humble myself before anyone who takes that path.
Amazing. A bit shivers. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. Then we've got some more questions. Louise, you can turn your video off when you can. And then, so I'm just looking at the chat box now, and you'll see that we've spoken about the integrating them. And then Petra asked, I'm not clear what a Lilith environment can be. Could you please give some examples? Which you have obviously also spoken to in speaking with Louise, but you can talk more on that. Yes. And then I'll just give you the next question and then you can interweave the answers. Is Yuki was then asking, can you say more about how menopause helps? And can you say more about the sexual aspects of Lilith too?
Okay, so let's do the first one, a Lilith environment. How did I do this? Well, first of all, there was an adjustment in me when I realized this has to be real. I know where I have to go. My body told me where I have to go. And then I believe there was an orchestration of celestial perfection because I knew where I had to go. I was in Portland when I made this decision. And Portland has a lot of sex clubs. And I knew, because I run it through my system, what about a sex club? And the whole of me went, and I knew that's where I've got to go. And being in Portland, that's really, really normal. So off I went with my girlfriend, with my editor, and we went to the sex club. We sat in the front row. Now, I'm not going to say too much about it because my parents are downstairs. But we went to the front row. We did not shy away from any of it. And we got to meet the main act. And the main act was a friend of the editor's. And so she came and had a drink with us first. And I was like, oh my God, this is the main act. And I strangely like her. We got on really, really great. She was writing a book called Conscious Stripping and we shared the same editor. So we had a little chat and I was like, wow, this lady's really nice. I like her. Then off she went backstage, got ready for her dance. And because we've made friends and she knows where we're sitting, there was a lot of eye contact and she danced very much for us. And then towards the end of the dance, the creme de la creme, she actually came to our table and did all the things that you saw her doing to the other gentlemen in the club. So it was intense and full on. And direct. She didn't know why I was there, but I suspect her soul knew why I was there, and she gave the portal, she gave the sacred gateway, because here is Lilith in extreme technicolor detail. And I knew to breathe and totally witness and totally be present and alive and sincere in my alchemy. And I'm looking at her and I'm liking her as a woman, not liking the show. The show was spectacular and wonderful, but I'm doing the Eve thing too. I really like you. And that was my moment. That was an initiation for sure. Other questions. Why does menopause help? Menopause helps because you are given so much more inner volcanic energy, because I believe your menstrual cycle is not being used to create blood every month, but the cycle is still active, and this extra energy is just burning your bullshit away, and your conditioning and your politeness and your niceness. It just takes no prisoners. You have this confidence. You're just not going to play the game anymore. And this is what I've read. I'm reading my menopausal books at the moment, and they're all saying the same thing. No more bullshit. Whatever crapness we have been stuffing down comes abruptly up to the surface, because you got to be real. You got to be real through the menopausal process. And any skeletons, anything that's been hidden away, will come up for authentic, mature addressing. And I think that is the great gift of becoming the mystic. I always call it the maiden, the mother, and the mystic. And this is one of the great gifts. Why is Lilith about sex? She's not. That's what the patriarch has made her. If we look at the church and we see how there's been this schism, this separation in the mind, that to be a Christian, you're not to have sex and you're not to have pornographic thoughts and all of that business, and the body is dirty and sinful. So Lilith becomes the face of all of that. Lilith is much more than just plain old sex. She is this sacred activist. This, I believe, is why she goes under the banner of sex. You know, the woman in black, the high heels, the stockings, the red lipsticks. That is not Lilith. That is a part of Lilith. That is a pleasurable, joyful part of Lilith. She is so much more. She is what animates that. She is the HQ of where that femme fatale came from. She does obviously have a very abundant sexual expression. She has not fallen for that church doctrine. She does not have that schism in the mind. But we have to be careful, because she is also not taboo. And she is not dirty sexuality. And she is not sexuality that shames and humiliates and hurts anyone, including herself. So if you're acting slutty and saying, hey, this is Lilith, I'm acting slutty, this is allowed. No, this is not Lilith. You cannot call Lilith a slut. She is more than that. She is the energy that impulses that. And so the patriarchal way of life have named her as this whore, this slut, this tart, this succubus, I think is another word for her, some sort of female demonic character that seduces young boys and takes their ejaculations and blah, 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 blah. Patriarchal crap. But you may have to go into that world to authentically find her, because the problem is that is the crevices of the mind that the patriarch has sent her. So don't think for 1 minute she's going to come running through the meadows saying, I'm here, sweetie, I'm here. No, unfortunately, patriarchy has done a bloody good job and for 2,000 years pushed this thing into dark corners of our mind, so you might have to pluck her out. of those strange corridors to make the journey real. But you go in with your breath, with your holy prayer, and say, excuse me, I'm here to collect my Lilith. So if you just get out of the way, I'm going to sovereignly take this part of me back and bring her to the fullness. Thank you.
Thank you, Anaya. Amazing. And then another question from Kalyani, just saying, thank you, Anaya, for your embodied sharing. I have a question. In your experience, is the moon influencing Lilith more than Eve? That is my experience, so curious about your own.
Yes. The moon very much affects my mind, and my mind can go to darker places during a full moon. Now, 47 years old, I'm aware of that. I allow that in the privacy of my own inner space. It is my nature as a Capricorn to be a little bit that way, a little bit melancholic, a little bit odd at times. So I allow that part of me to have space. So yes, it's vague, it's subtle, but I think I know where you're coming from with that question, and I can only really give a very vague or subtle answer. It affects my mind. And I'm okay with that.
Thank you. And then just some more sharings. So another, I think we have answered a little bit, but we can talk as it's coming up. Is says, why is Lilith about sex? It seems so simplistic. Say we need to get in touch with our wild sexuality, which we've been speaking about. And Anna again saying, I'm feeling so angry and heartbroken and confused. Why? I don't understand why it's about extreme sex or porn. And then, and then we'll go on to this questions about Eve, but you can talk to that.
Okay, beloved ladies. Why did the patriarch separate the woman? When that woman makes her way back to the wholeness again, on earth, she is going to be a temple. Her body, her flesh, and her availability to make love with is a temple, holding the fullness. And when you could come into contact with that, you are being given that apple again. You are being the woman now becomes a bridge to the sincere and benevolent divine. If Lilith and Eve make friends and integrate as one, woman, whether she is a mother, a lover, or a wife, is now holding the energy of the fullness. And she is free. And in her presence, others become free. And there can be no more controlling and manipulation and matrix tricks and control techniques. There are beautiful works that she can do. I call it taking the war out of man. There are mysteries inside of our female bodies that can absolutely heal humans through a bodily exchange. And that is why the church separated Lilith from Eve and cast them in two directions. Because if they come back together again, you do not need the church. You do not need priests.
Thank you. you. And I'm then saying, could we please talk about what Eve's environments could be?
Oh, yes. Well, for me, how did I find Eve? I found Eve very much through the transmissions of Andrew Harvey. But prior to that, my earlier work would have been bhajans. Oh, my God. Going to a Krishna Das concert for the first time. And I actually went as a Lilith because I'd come from a nightclub. I'd come fresh from clubbing in London. And I dropped in on a Krishna Das bhajan. I was not ready. I was not prepared. I had no clue what singing these mantras could do. And I was catapulted into the Sacred Heart. I will always remember that moment. I didn't know whether I was coming or going, laughing or crying. I felt ashamed because of my tears. I couldn't stop the crying, and the crying felt so bloody good. It felt good to have the walnut chin. So that for me was my Eve environment, devotion.
Thank you. And then the last sort of question, and then we can sort of start coming up to a completion, and this has just been amazing, is that is it necessary to consciously embody the patriarchal distortion of Lilith's sexuality in order to fully integrate her?
All depends on the woman. I'm going to just give a very generalized example. If you have lived heavy under that church dogma, or if you have had, for example, a 30-year marriage and you have done nothing but be Eve in the patriarchal way, passive, submissive, serving, I would say yes, it is wise to seek out that expression of Lilith, knowing full damn well it's only a step and it's only a stage. Do not get stuck there. You may have to break a few taboo rules that you have lived under. Like, oh, I dare not do that. I dare not put on my PVC and whip someone on all fours. You might have to. That might have to be your medicine. But it's only a step and it's only a stage. You will have to speak to your gorgeous heart, womb, and soul and ask for an authentic environment. What is it I need to face? And again, you know, let's just say you do go to the dominatrix scene for a while. Check in with Eve. Check in with your Sacred Heart. I know everyone's there because of their own consent, but just make sure you're not taking advantage of someone's distortion and playing into their understanding of things. That's the little double edge. You could say, yay, everyone's a consenting adult, we can do all this stuff. But just because they're a consenting adult doesn't mean they're fully aware of what they're consenting. They might be totally, you know, reliving their own abuse as a child. And there's you with your cat o' nine tails, totally giving more of that punishment. So check in. I know us ladies on this call have the ability to really sovereignly drop into the truth of what is needed for your own initiation into this, whilst maintaining your own dignity.
Definitely, thank you. And another one is just some more sharings, and we can see what we can respond to that. Is, so Thea said, so powerful, very much resonates in my body, feeling very alive, and realize that Eve can now come back into me. I have a very strong experience desiring to be more in my body by releasing fear of being in my body. Wow. And then Flavia saying, the bhajans were amazing for me as well to be in touch with Eve. But in Brazil, bhajans are not available. Is there another kind of environment or experience we could have by ourselves, as like, for example, the erotic photo shoot for Lilith?
How about devotional poetry? How about getting into that longing, really longing and yearning for the beloved, and letting that take some kind of art form? You can even do, you don't have to do erotic photos, you could do devotional photos. You could try and capture the essence of longing, longing for that Christed initiation or that Shiva, whether it be poetry, dance, photography, videos. It's the same thing. It's both an embodiment. These characters are embodied actions of the feminine. So Eve absolutely has her embodiment piece, for sure.
Sorry, I'm eating a cookie. Thank you so much, Anaya. I'm sure I can speak on me as well as all of the women. This has just been a truly revelationary call, and so, so, so grateful for it. And I'm very, very pleased that we've had it. And and your sharings have just been so rich and layered, and lots to think about and take through and play with. So again, thank you. Thank you very much. I'll put my video on.
And I want to say, beloved Shakti,
Yes.
I hope you're enjoying this.
I'm sure she's having a good giggle.
Yeah.
So thank you very, very much. Thank you for your time, and thank you, women. We'll have another call with the woman tomorrow to more have our small group course to call, just to share, you know, our sharings about Shakti and our feelings and anything that we're wanting to sort of put into the group. And yeah, we'll be in touch. So thank you, everyone. And yeah, till tomorrow.
Bye, ladies.
Bye. Mm-hmm.